Tonight, we are going to continue. It's kind of been broken up because of so many things that have interfered with our scheduling. But we want to continue this series that we began in May on, if you pick it, I'll preach it. If you recall, or maybe those of you who weren't here at the time, I had asked the congregation to go to their friends, their family, you know, their neighbors, their coworkers, whatever, and say, listen, my preacher said that if you pick a sermon, he'll preach on it, and so pick the sermon. And we've gotten back a lot of responses, more than we can deal with at least this summer, and we're going to spend the rest of June and July answering some of those questions that we receive. Some of the questions we can deal with more than one at a time, but this lesson will dominate the entire evening. But I want you also to, you know, maybe your friends aren't able to come and they haven't seen the schedule of when we're going to be discussing some of these questions. But we will have these online on Monday, and you can share these lessons, the videos, the outlines of the lesson with your friends and neighbors, and that might be an open door for you as we try to fulfill our promise to answer the questions that were asked. Now, tonight's lesson is this question, and quite a few people had asked this question, and so I think it's one of interest, and it was of no surprise to me. And the question was simply this: why don't you all use mechanical instruments of music in worship? Maybe it wasn't stated exactly like that, but I just restated it in that fashion. It was often said, well, why don't you guys use music, or why don't you have music at your church? Well, we do have music, but I know what they mean by that question. They're asking, why don't we have a piano, or why don't we have some kind of a musical instrument to accompany us in our music? And I understand that there is a reluctancy to be different. We don't like to be different. I don't ever remember enjoying being different from somebody else. We like to fit in. We like to blend in. We don't want to be the one person in a picture that stands out and draws attention. We get a little self-conscious sometimes when we're worried that everybody's looking at us, and we don't like that. We want to fit in. But I'll tell you, that desire to fit in causes people to do some silly things. And I've got to be really careful when I do this, because twice now I have tried to use clothing as an example of how silly sometimes we are. And I used not too long ago, I used the example of Earth shoes. You remember in the 70s they had Earth shoes. The heel was lower than the toe, and they were kind of shaped funny in the front. They were ugly shoes, but they were cool at the time, and everybody had to have Earth shoes. And I made that illustration. I got done, and somebody came right up to me after church, pulled their shoe off, and said, I've got Earth shoes. You know, I was like, oh, no. And then another time, we were trying to help benevolence, a case where there had been a burnout. And I said, you know, don't use this as an opportunity to get rid of some old junky clothes. You know, don't. Let's help them and not let their tragedy be a help to you to get your closet cleaned out. I said, don't get these plaid jackets that have lapels about that wide and you know, from the set. And as I was saying that, man, there was a man sitting right there that was wearing the jacket I was describing. I wanted to say, don't give that one like he's wearing. You know, I was in too deep already. But my point is, peer pressure will cause you to do a lot of things. And there is, you know, maybe this feeling among some that says, why don't we use instrument? Why do we have to be different there? I'd rather just fit in and not have that thing that hovers over me and people say, why don't you guys use instruments in your worship? Well, I want to answer that question tonight, and I also want to answer some objections to it. The answer is really simple and won't take very long to answer. We'll probably spend a little more time in dealing with some of the objections that are made. But the use or non-use of instruments in churches of Christ is one of the things that people almost right off the bat, the Church of Christ, oh yeah, those are those people that don't use mechanical instruments of music. I'm okay with that. I would rather them say, those are the people who love God supremely. But I know how we function, and that doesn't mean that we don't. But sometimes we pick something that makes us look a little different than other people, and we're remembered by that thing. It doesn't mean that we're out of balance or anything, but it is often the thing that people remember the most about us because it's so different from what they've grown up with and what they've been accustomed to. There's a growing number, even, I'll say this, even members of the Lord's church that have never studied this question. Maybe we haven't taught on it as much as we should. Maybe we've allowed a generation to arise or grow up that have never really studied the issue and think that it's just a matter of preference, or as many are saying today, just a matter of our a cappella tradition. Brethren, it's more than that. It's not a matter of tradition. If it were, we shouldn't divide over it. It's a matter of what does the Word of God teach. And a lot of people have this question, well, why so much emphasis and attention given to something that's so seemingly trivial? Like, what difference does it make if you have or don't have an instrument in your worship to accompany the singing? Well, that's a good question. And it was asked by several of your friends. And I want to try to answer that question for them. And to begin with, let me just say this, and this is for your benefit. I know that we don't like to be the only ones, the odd man out. I think that we all have that desire to be included and not stand out as something different. You're not the only ones. We're not the only ones who hold this position. There are other religious groups that say, you know what, this is not something we should be doing. And there are several million people in those other groups that say, this is not something we should be doing. You go back a little more than 200 years ago, and you'll find that the odd people or the odd man out were those who used these instruments, because at that time it wasn't at all practiced in a general way. In fact, it was spoken out against. But here's the bottom line. It shouldn't matter, and it doesn't matter whether the masses agree or disagree. What should settle this issue is, what does the Bible say? And we've never operated under, or it's never been a wise thing, has it, that we would look to what's popular opinion say? What do people think about, if we took a vote, where would the majority be? That's never been a way to determine right from wrong. In fact, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2, shall we follow a multitude to do evil? You've heard this, you've said this. What if your friends jumped off a bridge? Would you jump off a bridge? You know, you've heard people say it. You don't just do something because everybody else is doing it. So the bottom line is, it doesn't matter whether it's popular or unpopular, whether a whole lot of folks are doing it or very few folks are doing it. What matters is, what does the Bible say? And that's what we're concerned about. It matters not to me the opinions of men. We should be committed to the Word of God. And so I want us to ask that question. What does the Bible say? Why don't we use instruments of music in our worship? Here's your answer. And it's really short. And the answer is this. It's simply a matter of authority. Nowhere in the Bible are we authorized to do them, to use them in Christian worship. That's the reason. God never gave us permission. Jesus never said we could. The Holy Spirit never endorsed it. The apostles never once said, this is something that we've done and we think it would be a good thing for you to do as well. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the men who were inspired and wrote down the laws and the commandments that we should follow, none of them ever gave us permission and said, this is something I want you to do. Well, turn in your Bibles, if you will, and this is the passage that explains and maybe helps us to understand this principle of authority. In your Bibles, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. The text says, and whatever you do, in word or in deed, that covers what we teach and what we practice. So the Apostle Paul says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So whatever it is that we teach or whatever it is that we practice, we have to be able to do it in the name of Jesus. And you understand that the phrase in the name of means by the authority of. You remember when Peter and John were doing miracles and they were arrested and called in and said, hey, in whose name are you doing these things? They were asking, who gave you the right to do these things? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. You see, they wanted, by saying in whose name, they were asking, who gave you the permission? Who said you could do this? If, you know, to put it in today's terms, if somebody said, stop in the name of the law, and he had a badge, you would understand what that means. He's telling you to stop, and he's doing so by the authority the law has given him. Stop by the authority of the law. So when Paul says, whatever we do and whatever we teach, we have to have the authority of Christ for it. All right. Okay, I understand that. Why do we take the Lord's Supper? Because the Lord told us to. Why do we sing? Because the Lord told us to. Why do we immerse people that have come to faith in Jesus and are willing to repent of their sins? Because the Lord told us to. Why do we pray to God? Because the Lord told us to. You see, all those things that we do it under that principle. There's authority for it. God told us to do it. And so the question comes, should we use instruments? And here's what I want to hear. Where did the Lord ever tell us to? Because I have to do it in His name, by His authority. And like I said, there's not a verse in the Bible that where God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, an inspired writer ever authorized instrumental music in Christian worship. And that's why we don't use it. That's the reason. It has nothing to do with preference. It has nothing to do with being stuck in traditions of our forefathers. It has nothing to do with the cost of instruments and we think it's an inexpedient way to use our money. It has nothing to do with those things. It the only reason is that there's just no authority for it. And we're a people committed to the authority of Christ. We only want to do that which God authorizes us to do. We are committed and sold out to being a people of the book. And that's why we don't use it. Well, that's the answer, and I guess I could stop right there, but I would like to maybe be a little more helpful in addressing some of the questions that probably come to mind in people when they say, okay, I hear you, but what about? I'd like to answer or briefly address some of those what abouts, okay? So let's look at a few of those for the next little bit, and then the lesson will be yours. What about David? Didn't David in the Psalms talk about instrumental music? Look at Psalm 150 sometime and try reading that and reading it without instrumental music. It's all through it, and it's commands that David gave. Sing with the harp and the lyre and all these these instruments. I mean, he tells them to use instruments in that passage. So, you know, why are you guys saying there's no authority for it? Well, should we not remember that we're not under the old law? Consider this question. Are we willing to affirm that everything that was practiced in the Old Testament should be and can be practiced in the New Testament church? Think about that, because that's basically the argument. Since David used it in the Old Testament, we ought to be allowed to use it in the New Testament church. Really? You know, they used to take lambs and spill their blood and offer it as a sacrifice. Hey, if they did it in the Old Testament, we ought to be allowed to, are we going to contend that? You know, just because something was done in the Old Testament doesn't mean that it should be done in the church. If so, then what would be the difference in the New Testament church and the Old Testament Judaism that already existed? There was a change in the covenants. And we're not governed by what God told David to do. We're governed by what God tells his church to do. So that's what I would say to that. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2 and verse 15, Colossians 2 and verse 14, as well as Romans chapter 7 and a host of other passages, that the old law was done away with. We're not governed by those things. I don't slay animals. I don't put to death those who don't observe the Sabbath. You know, when I'm driving home on Saturday and I see somebody out mowing the yard, I have no compulsion to stop my car and pick up rocks and start throwing at that man. That's what the law said, but I don't do that because that's the old law. We live under the law of Christ. And so what I need is not, you know, they did that in the Old Testament. I know they did. And they were commanded to. But what I need to see is where are they commanded to do that in the New Testament. That's what I need. I need authority for Christian worship, not Old Testament worship. Another objection that sometimes is said, but aren't they used in heaven? I mean, doesn't the Bible talk about the angels and the harps in heaven and so forth? And there's instruments in heaven. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 2 mentions some, makes reference there. Again, it's really the same principle, just on the other end. What I need is not what they did in the Old Testament, and I don't need to know what we're going to do in heaven either. I want to know, what does God tell me to do in the church? Because again, would we affirm that whatever is done in heaven is the way it ought to be in the church? There's music in heaven. There's instruments of music mentioned in heaven. Revelation 14 verse 2. Therefore, we should have instruments of music in the church. All right? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, there's no marriage in heaven. If it's that way in heaven, that's the way it should be on earth in the church too. So no marriage in the church anymore. Everybody, you can't be married because that's the way it is in heaven. Would we follow that? No, of course not. And the reason is that heaven's a different realm. And it's governed by different laws. Obviously, we're allowed to be married here. But in heaven, the Bible says, Jesus said, there will not be marriage in heaven. But that's not the way it is here right now. But it means that there's a difference, doesn't it? And the difference is of God's making, and he has a right to do it. And I can't say today, well, listen, that's the way it is in heaven, and I just think it ought to be that way here on earth, and I think that there should be no marriage on earth. We can't argue that way. What we have to do is say, those are the rules for heaven. Those were the rules in the Old Testament. What are the rules for the church? And that's what we need to find. Do you realize how quickly this discussion could be answered and over with? All somebody would have to do is say, well, here's the verse. Here's where it says, but there is no such verse. That's why we're having this discussion tonight, because no one can turn to a passage and say, see, they did. They did have it. they didn't. And it's not there to be found. Somebody will say, yeah, but you know, it doesn't say you can't use them. And again, is that the way we're going to operate? Would you go to the pharmacist and, you know, you go to the doctor and he gives you a prescription and you go to the pharmacist and you know, the doctor gives you something for your blood pressure and prescribes something for your blood pressure. You get to the pharmacist and he gives you something for inflammation. Would that be right? You don't have a right to do that. Well, he didn't say I couldn't do it. Would you expect a pharmacist to argue along those lines? Would you go to a grocery store and you pick all the things you want and you're having it rung up for you, and then she starts pulling stuff off and say, well, you didn't say you didn't want that. You know, and starts putting it in your bag as well. Or order from a catalog or from Amazon Prime or whatever, and a truckload comes to your house and you say, what's this about? I just ordered a pen. And they say, yeah, but you didn't say you didn't want all these other things. That's not the way authority works. We understand that in every aspect of life. We use it every day. We understand the logic of it. We only do what is authorized. But when it comes to religion, we're so quick to say, yeah, but it doesn't say you can't. It doesn't say you can't pray to Mary. It doesn't say you can't sprinkle babies. It doesn't say you can't pray to some departed saint. It doesn't say you can't pray to your ancestors for salvation. It doesn't say, see, we could just keep going on and on and on with that it doesn't say thing. And can you imagine how big your Bible would be if God had to say all the things that he doesn't want you to do? That would be unreasonable. No one operates like that. What he does is he says, this is what I want from you. And that's what we do. God has never left worship up to our own devise, and we get to pick and choose how we worship and what we do in worship. We can actually see examples of when men took that presumptuous liberty, and they found themselves in deep trouble too, didn't they? We just want to do what God says do. And that we know is safe and right. What about this? Sometimes people will say this. Yeah, but Steve, I have a God-given talent. I mean, God has, from the time I was just a little kid, I just picked up music and man, I could strum a guitar and I knew how to use this. And that's God-given. I give all credit to God because I just picked it up so quickly, and it's just the way I'm wired, and I think that I should be able to use that talent in worship. Well, I understand the heart behind that, but you're not the only one with a talent. And there are more talents than just playing an instrument. Tell me where you're going to draw the line. I used to be a pretty good free throw shooter. You know, I could make a lot of free throws. Do I get to have a little time to shoot baskets in worship? I know that's kind of out there, but how does it become different? I mean, everybody has a talent. Some people can draw really well. Some people can memorize really well. Some people can do math problems really well. The list goes on. We have talents that are all God-given, but that doesn't mean that God authorizes us to use those talents as a part of worship to him. Again, what we're looking for is authority. Where does he say we can? And then just one more, and then we'll bring this to a close. But sometimes you'll hear people say, well, I don't see that it's a problem because it's just an aid. You know, it just helps us to sing better. back a couple hundred years ago, you know, that was the argument made in Midway, Kentucky, when they first introduced musical instruments and caused a great deal of confusion and division among those who were Christians. And the argument was made by the preacher, listen, our singing is so bad, we don't even have a problem with church mice here because they can't stand to hear when we're singing. And so we've got to have something to make it better. We're even running the mice off. So it's just something that helps us sing better. And you know, that sounds good on the surface, but it fails to make this important distinction. There's a difference between something that helps me do what God commanded and that which changes what God commanded. In other words, there's a difference in an aid and an addition. Let me explain it this way. God told Noah to build an ark, right? He was commanded to build. Well, you have to, how do you build? Well, could he use a hammer? Well, of course he could. Because that helps him to do what God told him to do. God told him to build an ark out of gopher wood. So he uses a hammer, and that's an aid to help him do what God told him to do. But what if he would have said, you know what? That gopher wood's on the other side of Dye Stone Gap. I sure wish I could use these trees right here. They're a lot close. They're not gopher wood, but it sure would help me. That wouldn't be a help. You couldn't call that an aid because it's a different thing than what God commanded. He didn't say build an ark out of poplar or oak or maple or whatever it is. He said gopher wood. And so I can't substitute what he said for something else. That would be an addition to God's word. When God commanded them to observe the Passover, he said, take the blood of a lamb and put it on the doorpost of your house. Well, okay, how do you do that? There are a number of... The fact that he was specific and said the blood of the lamb, that excluded, you know, cats and squirrels and any other kind of an animal. It meant that it's... I can't offer, you know... I've got this problem with mice, and so I'm going to just gather up some mice and get their blood, and that's so much more expedient for me. I love my lambs, and those are worth something and expensive and don't have a whole lot of them, and so I'm just going to do these rats that I want to get rid of anyway, and that would be more helpful. I'm just trying to do God's commands in a helpful, expedient way. Well, that's not an expedient. Because you changed his command. He specified what he wanted, a lamb. And I can't change the kind of animal that he told me to do. And when it comes to worship in the New Testament, he told us to sing. That's a certain kind of music. He could have said play, but he didn't. He said, I want you to sing. And to change the kind of music, that's unauthorized. It would be just as wrong for Noah to change the kind of wood. It would be just as wrong for Moses to change the kind of animal that was slain. And it would be just as wrong for us to change the kind of music that God commanded. He commanded us to sing. I hope in this short period of time, at least we have shown you the reasons for our convictions. It has nothing to do with popularity. It has nothing to do with who believes what and how long it's been believed and who believes which practice is most practiced by other people and religious groups and so forth. It has nothing to do with the cost or our preference, what we think sounds better. It boils down to this. We're people of the book. And we only want to do what God has authorized us to do. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. I can't do that in the name of the Lord. Because the Lord is silent on that. He never once, like I said, God never authorized it. Jesus never authorized it. The Holy Spirit never authorized it. And none of those inspired men ever authorized it. So I can't do it in the name of the Lord. And that's what I'm committed to doing. I want to give you and leave you one thought, and it was written by a Puritan preacher from the 1600s. And I think he had a very good statement to make that I think is very applicable when it comes to this issue in particular. This man's name was Baxter, and Richard Baxter, and here's what he had to say. For a man to dare go in a way which has neither precept nor example to warrant it, can that be obedience which has no command for it? Oh, the pride of man's heart that instead of being a law obeyer, will be a lawmaker. For my part, I will not fear that God will be angry with me for doing no more than he has commanded me and sticking close to the rule of his word in matter of worship, But I should tremble to add or diminish. I think those are wise words. I know that when I sing, I'm doing exactly what God commanded me to do. To do more than that, to do less than that, is presumptuous. It makes us the law giver rather than the law obeyer. And it puts us on treacherous footing, because we're in a place where we don't have the authority of God when he says, I want you to have it for all that you say and do. I hope that'll answer some of your questions on that topic. It's a great question. And I hope that if you have further questions on that or follow-up questions that you'll write to me or come talk to me about that. If you're here tonight and you're not yet or haven't yet had the opportunity to obey the gospel and you know I need to do this. I need to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. If that's the decision you've come to and you need to take care of it now, tonight, we will assist you in that. If you're a child of God already, but unfaithful, and you want to come back home, we'll pray for you if you'll come as we stand together and sing.